Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And we have yet another amazing guest this morning. I am excited to jump in and talk to the serial entrepreneur who's found her voice and is currently finding it through building her audience, through creating trust, through creating connection. This is going to be her first live. And this is the case with so many of our guest is that they're doing new things. They're growing right in front of us here as they come onto the show. And many of you are doing also things that you've, you know, never done before, growing in ways that you've never grown before. And so that's what this is all about. I've been doing this for 13 years, creating, you know, not only building my business in the same way that many of you are getting started, but also, you know, turning around, teaching these skills, teaching these strategies to people. And one thing that I know is that we are all a lot more alike than we are different. And so hopefully today's episode, like all of our episodes here, we've done nearly 1,000 of these interviews. I'm not aware of another company or CEO or a guru or anywhere in any education company that actually talks to their customers on a daily basis, unfiltered, unscripted, unprompted, to just get an accurate representation of what they've experienced and not only the successes, but also the challenges of getting started online as an entrepreneur. So with that being said, let's jump into it. Tammy, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
great. Great to have you this morning. This is your first live ever, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a little nervous, but we'll see how it goes.
It's going to go great. I'm so excited that this is your first interview, you know, live. And that is it's always nice for new people to kind of, you know, not feel so alone. And also, I love that you share that you're nervous, because so oftentimes I think people compare their insides with other people's outsides and don't think that people are nervous. And the truth is that we're all human beings having a human experience. And so where are you calling in from, first of all?
New Jersey.
What part?
Basking Ridge. It's kind of northern Jersey, maybe north central Jersey.
Okay, nice. So what was the motivating factor? What drew you to, what made you want to build a business online?
I think my story is not different than anybody else's, except for the fact that I'm a little older. Like, I'm 56. So, you know, I've had businesses before. My husband and I have grown businesses before. We've tried a lot of different things. Even after we sold our business, I have 5 boys and they're expensive. So 5 little boys are expensive, but 5 adult sort of boys going to college and cars and insurance and things are expensive. So, you know, we did business, we were successful, but, you know, our savings sort of got gutted, you know, over the months and years of having these kids. And I started to realize that I needed to sort of backfill my retirement planning. I thought I had planned pretty good. I thought we were doing pretty well for ourselves, but, you know, unfortunately life kind of hits you hard. Inflation kind of hits you hard. And then you start looking for ways to do, you know, other things to backfill your income. So that's when I started looking online, because I didn't want to go back to a 9-to-5. I didn't want to start another brick and mortar either, because there's so much risk with that, especially after COVID. I got nervous about being shut down and closed up. So did not want to go the route of brick and mortar again. So I said, you know, let me go look and see what's out there. So that's when I started searching for it. And then, like everyone, you know, I sat on it for a while, watched it for a while, and then decided to take a chance and jump in on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of brick and mortar businesses did you have in the past?
I mean, we were pretty big. We were fortunate. We started a business pretty young. I think I was in my early 20s, I think, when my husband started it. I had a full-time job, so I could kind of pay the bills while he started it. And then soon after, I left and backfilled and helped him out with that. But it was a third-party logistics company. So we basically had warehouses all over the country, kind of before Amazon was Amazon. We were in the right place at the right time, to be honest with you. And that's why we had a lot of offers to sell, which was great for us. But so we did distribution. So other companies didn't want to have their warehouses, didn't want to have back end, you know, staff and all the expenses of that. So we took over that for them. So we did it on a large scale. We had over a million, maybe a million and a half square foot of warehouses all over the country. We had to commute to the West Coast a lot. That's where the pier is and the port where most stuff gets imported. So, I mean, it was hard logistics with young kids, but I don't know if you were going to say something. But yeah, so it was challenging. So it was big. It was nice. It was fun, but it was a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, I had just mentioned that the stuff comes in from China, right? Right there into California. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct. So we live on the East Coast, so the pier in Newark is good, but the pier on the West Coast is really where everything comes in. So we had to really set up shop out there as our primary location.
Yeah. So what would you say is different from starting a brick and mortar business nowadays compared to back then?
I don't know. I'm sure it's very different. I mean, I haven't done it for a while. We sold over 10 years ago, but I'm glad we got out when we did. I think there's a lot of challenges now. I mean, staffing is definitely a thing. I hear it all the time. People can't find reliable help. Probably because people are looking for ways to work remotely now because, you know, to be honest with you, I think COVID opened our eyes to the possibility of being home. And a lot of companies didn't skip a beat. You know, they were able to kind of relocate their staff, you know, remotely. So I think the whole world has changed in that. And I don't think people really want to go back to the way they were working before. They want more of that time with their family. They want to be home. So I think if you were to run a company, I think the biggest challenge would be staffing to me. You know, insurance, staffing, all of that is always a challenge, you know. But the fact that they could potentially close you down and shut you down, and I mean, that's scary enough for me. You know, we were going to be getting into franchising. I think I made a note of that for you guys. And we did start and dabbled in it. But I think the fear of being shut down and closed down, if you're especially in some type of restaurant industry, you know, that's your business. That's your livelihood. And you're kind of, you know, out of luck.
Yeah, I agree. I think the pandemic opened my eyes. I mean, I already was online, and you're right. We were one of those companies that didn't miss a beat. As a matter of fact, through the pandemic grew exponentially as people from all walks of life, people who previously were not open to some sort of an internet business or work from home, now wanted it, needed it, arms wide open. They were like, teach us. I mean, doctors, accountants, real estate professionals, all the people from the brick and mortar world were now stuck at home on lockdown, shut down, all the things that we all went through. And, you know, I was already beating the drum of, hey, brick and mortar is expensive. Brick and mortar is it's antiquated. Look around town at your mom and pop shops getting gulped up by Walmart and all the other big corporations, fast food. I mean, having a nice, you know, I'm sure up in New York and New Jersey, there's more of them, but down here in Florida, there's hardly any individually privately owned restaurants anymore. I mean, just mom and pop, you know? And so all of those are getting gobbled up. So where do you go? How do you start a business anymore? Well, everybody's coming online, and we're sort of in this modern day gold rush in a sense. People are not traveling across country on horse and buggy with pick and shovel. They're, you know, opening up their laptops. They're getting on social media with their cell phones. And so you mentioned your age earlier in the show. What has that been like for you to open your mind up to something, to be new at something again, to, you know, what is that required of you? Has it required a certain element of humility? Has it required a certain element of, I mean, because, you know, oftentimes, you know, different generations can kind of look at, you know, older generations can look down at younger generations and say, oh, those silly kids with that technology. Younger generations can do the same thing at older generations. How have you become open-minded? What is it required for you to actually be new at this and be able to learn and then execute? Because you're executing at a pretty high level. We'll get into that here in a moment, but I'll share your profiles and so forth. I mean, you've got a pretty decent audience that you're growing, over 30,000 people on two different platforms. What's it required of you, and what do other people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, also need to have in order to get started and be successful at this kind of mentally?
That's a lot of questions in one here. But really, that's one of the reasons I got involved in this, is because I wanted to push myself. I had kind of stopped learning. You know, I was home raising my kids, and I was fortunate enough to be able to do that, even though I had a business. But having your own business, I had the flexibility of sort of being home and being present for most of that. But being older, it was a challenge to learn the tech part of it and to kind of get over all of my, like, you know, inhibitions about getting online and doing those things. But the one reason I did it is because I didn't want my mind to go, like, stale. I didn't want to stop learning. I felt like during the course of that time that I was home, I had kind of disconnected from the work world and disconnected from continuing to grow my skills. And I think you kind of get in a rut and you realize that you're just not really growing and expanding. So that is the one reason I got into this. And it was challenging. I'm not going to say it's not, but having five boys is also a good blessing because they keep me young, and they were a big help in the process. They were a big motivator to push me to do this. I mean, they kind of made it sound like I couldn't do it because I was older. They're like, oh, TikTok and all those things are for influencers. They're influencers. And they're for younger people, like young, cute girls that can dance on screen and stuff. And the more that they talked like that, the more I said, I'm doing it. It was just like they threw the gauntlet down. I was like challenged by them to sort of say, no, you can do anything at any age. It doesn't really matter. I did have challenges though, and I do have challenges because my niche and my audience is sort of my age group. And that's a challenge because getting them to see it differently is very hard. And I'm finding that people in my age group are very skeptical of this type of work, I think. They're used to the brick and mortar. They're used to the steady 9 to 5. And because I think they're worried about losing their retirement, they're afraid to take chances. So to be honest with you, it's not that I want to stop talking to that audience, because I do want to be an example for them to say you can do anything at any age. But I do sort of want to niche down to myself in my 40s, because to be honest with you, that's when I should have been doing something like this. When my kids didn't need me as much and I was young enough to really build a business and grow it, you know, that's when I really should have been actively doing that instead of sitting still and idle and not growing. So I want to talk to my 40-year-old self, you know, and that's what I kind of am starting to try to do now, because they're home anyway, a lot of them, with their kids. It's the perfect opportunity to utilize that time just to grow something for yourself, find a passion and grow that. So yeah, I mean, my target is definitely changing, you know, to a little bit younger me, because I wish I would have started this younger.
And I think you're dropping some big old boulders here right now. If others are really paying attention to what you're saying, because what I am picking up from what you're putting down is that one of the most effective ways to communicate to an audience is to communicate what you wish you would have known, what you wish you could or should have done, to share the experience, especially to our, and I want to really call out to my elders right now. And I'm 40. Okay. So I'm an elder as well to many. Okay. Which is weird, right? We grow up and we realize, oh my gosh, I am an elder to many. I do have a lot of experience that people can use. I do have a lot of things that I know about life. I mean, Tammy, holy crap, raising five boys. I'm going to just, good God almighty. I mean, what? I cannot imagine the things that you know about parenting, parenthood, motherhood, raising boys. I mean, which is a totally unique topic from raising girls, right? I know. I've got boys. I've also got girls. So, but also just, you know, what other experience do you have in your life? Well, you've shared some of the experience. We're 19 minutes into this, and I'm like, holy crap, this lady is an encyclopedia of life knowledge. I mean, from your marriage to the businesses that you started in your early 20s to having five boys, so I'm also talking to all of you who are listening right now. There is such a unique opportunity for, and I liked also how you framed it, to talk to your younger self. It's not about going out there and shaking your finger. It's not about going out there and being condescending or talking to people like they're doing something wrong. It's about communicating to that younger self. And I love how you frame that. I'm talking to my younger self about the things that I wish I would have done, the things that I wish I would have known, some of the mistakes that I made, how I've learned from those, and also a lot of the things that I've done right. Am I reading that correctly? And is that sort of the approach that you're taking in terms of communicating now or sort of evolving your message with your audience? And how is that different than what you started off with? You know, how is your messaging and your target audience kind of evolved? What have you learned that didn't particularly maybe resonate with you as much, or why you're wanting to evolve it at this point?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, it's an unpopular topic, but I mean, I got into this and I followed the lead of so many affiliates before me, which is something that I would tell anybody getting into this now, if they're going into that, into the same niche of Make Money Online, is to potentially be true to yourself to right from the get-go, because there are so many things. And that's another thing I wanted to say is, one thing I've learned more than anything is the community is amazing. I mean, I have made friendships and bonds with people that I never thought I would have. Everyone is willing to help other people and mentor and give, you know, the hand down to the new girl coming up or the new guy coming up. And I love that about this community. So I'm very thankful for that part. But in the process, there's so many different voices out there. And if you ask 10 different people, you're going to get 10 different answers. So when I started, of course, I was trying to model. And really, still to this day, I am a little bit, because my audience has gotten used to that type of content and they like that type of content. But I did start off with some of the remote jobs and side hustle type things to do a growth concept. And as much as that does grow your audience, I do believe it grows it maybe fairly quickly, but you're attracting an audience of people, yes, that are looking to make money online, but it's not really your target audience. It's not really someone who's interested in this opportunity. You might be warming them up to it. You might potentially get a few of them that are interested in that idea. But now I'm starting to switch my content to become more oriented towards that target and niche down a little bit, because I need to like attract the people now that are interested in this opportunity. And like you said, it's only like maybe 1% of all people that are entrepreneurial minded. And this isn't really for everyone. I mean, you could say it all you want that anyone can do this. I mean, anyone probably can do this in whatever niche they're doing, but not everyone should do this, to be honest with you. I mean, it is work and you do have to put in the hours. And I'm such a perfectionist. I just dove into so many different things and had that shiny object syndrome because I wanted to know as much as I could, because I want to be an expert in this, to be honest with you. And not to just jump all over the place, but my biggest issue is my imposter syndrome. I feel like I'm not an expert yet. Like, I feel like I haven't really acquired enough skills in comparison to other people. I think I've done well, and I think I've learned a lot. And I'm very proud of the things that I've learned, because it's amazing the training that I've gotten. But I don't feel like an expert enough to be able to feel worthy of mentoring somebody else, you know, even though that's what my goal is. I want to help people. I want to mentor them regardless of the money. I'm not really in it for the money. It was really about a growth thing for me. And I know long term I will be successful doing this. And I set myself up right from the beginning with that mindset. So, but I do have that imposter syndrome where I don't think I'm worthy really of mentoring people yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about something that I talk about so often, which is the phenomenon of the liking gap, thinking that other people don't like us as much or get as much value from us as we think, right? It's the way we view ourselves is not the same way as others view us. And I mean, I'm sitting here looking at you, listening to you. I mean, you're not quite old enough to be my mother, but like an older sister, right? You know, listening here to the wisdom that you have. I mean, as I'm raising my boys, as I'm embarking on parenthood and entrepreneurship, I mean, you're in a second or even third phase of your entrepreneur journey, you know. And I'm just overwhelmed listening to you. Eager, on the edge of my seat. And as you're talking and communicating, you may be looking at me like, you know, nervous, right? We just never know what people are thinking. You know, like, I'm enamored by you. I'm blown away by you. I think And then there you are sitting in your imposter syndrome. And I think that's the conundrum that we all face. You know, I have that same imposter syndrome as well. I mean, because I'm with myself all the time, I'm not shocked by myself. You know, I mean, I almost start talking sometimes and I'm like, there I go again, you know, because you literally hear yourself talking all the time. You've been listening to yourself talk for years. You're almost in some respects sick of hearing yourself, right? And so we all kind of, I think, face this conundrum. I also saw it play out in recovery, right? I got sober 15 years ago and, you know, I went into a facility at about 90 days clean to do something, called hospitals and institutions where you take meetings into treatment centers and so forth. And one day Scott, the leader of the panel, was like, all right, Dave, it's your turn to tell your story. I'm like, story? Speak? I don't have anything to say. And he was like, oh yeah, you do 90 days. Is all you got to have is 90 days in order to tell your story. And so I told my story, and that was, and I had all these guys come up to me at the end of the meeting and shake my hand and say, man, that so inspiring. And I'm sitting here 90 days off of being homeless, you know? I was blown away. I was like, wow, I actually have something of value to share. And so I think that's exacerbated by the fact that we are also on the internet and like we're looking at screens versus interacting with people, right? And it's also hard to kind of sift through some of the positive comments. You can get 10 positive comments, but the one negative comment like makes you feel like crap and that's all you focus on, right? So that seems like that resonates with you. So what are you telling yourself? I mean, how are you navigating the imposter syndrome? You're clearly putting one foot in front of the other, and you're like 1,000 steps down the road compared to others. So you've obviously done something to get to where you're at. What would you say that those things are? Are they external things that you're practicing or part of your daily routine, or are they internal things that you're saying to yourself in order to, despite how you feel, produce and create anyways?
I don't really know what I'm doing. Mentally, I definitely work on myself mentally. Like I do try to like, you know, write down things and set goals for myself. As a matter of fact, this was one of my goals to be on the show. So I think having tangible goals and setting those things out early on,
one of your goals.
You know, you set yourself up for success, you know, by doing those things right away. So I actually met with one of your legal team to set up my business, my LLC. And I did that like in my first several weeks before I even had posted a video, or maybe I just started posting reels. And he's like, well, you don't really have to do this right now. And I'm like, no, I have to do this because then I'm committing myself down the path of I will be successful regardless. I mean, so I continue to invest in things that kind of didn't give me a back door or way out. You know, it's like that fail forward thing. You know, whether I fail at the beginning, I'm going to keep failing until I don't fail. I'm going to keep working at this until I find the secret sauce. And there is no secret sauce. But I do think you have to be super adaptable because, you know, not only does Instagram change and content changes and the whole world is changing. And even within this industry, I know you're experiencing it and we're all experiencing out here too. There's a lot of different courses, a lot of different products, a lot of different things you're competing with. So you need to be adaptable. And I think you need to be able to shift on a dime. So that would be something that I work on. I think just getting educated every day, learning new things. I take courses outside of this course too. Like I don't really know Canva that well, but I took Canva courses. System.io offers a certification. So I took courses in that because I just wanted to learn it better. If I'm going to explain it to somebody, I want to feel confident in what I'm talking about. So this whole new concept of buy a course, slap a course up on a stand store and sell a course, and half of the people haven't even taken the course or opened the course is kind of frustrating to me because I really feel like I'm trying to learn the skill set to be able to teach people how to use this in many different ways, not just in the resell a course kind of thing. So I don't know. That would be what I would say most of all is I set myself up and I set goals for myself every day and kind of keep moving forward.
Super clear, super powerful. And I love the accountability pieces that you touched on. I mean, you met with the, that's a third party affiliate company that we work with, but they're just so wonderful that we send customers to them and they'll help you set up your corporation and stuff is what you were referring to. And yeah, they said, hey, yeah, because you don't have to do anything. I mean, you know, even our advisors that you can talk with, you know, you're in charge of your credit. I mean, nobody makes you pull out your credit card. You know, you're in charge of that. You can do whatever you want. Nothing is mandatory. And he said that to you and you said, hey, no, I want to do this. I want to set it up. I want to be accountable. You know, I want to put some skin in the game. You know, the world is full of freebie seekers. And what I've learned over the years is that not if you don't, let me put this in I, me, my terms. If I don't pay, I don't pay attention. If I don't pay, I don't pay it. If I don't have some skin in the game, if I don't have some risk of losing something for not taking action, sort of like having a child. If I don't work and feed this kid, something bad's gonna happen. Now I've got, right? When it was just me, maybe I might, and I think a lot of parents experience this, we kind of wake up when we have kids. It's like, oh crap, I'm in charge of something now. I'm in charge of a life. I've got some actual skin in the game, somebody else's skin. And I think with
It's good to teach kids to have skin in the game too and not buy them everything that they need. I mean, I try to teach my kids that they need to potentially, you know, owe a little bit on their car or like get a job, even if they might not need it right now, because, you know, those skills are learned very young because the world's going to get a hold of them soon enough. And, you know, college is going to indoctrinate them into the world of entitlement soon enough. And then you have to, like, you know, untrain them, all those weird things that they get taught sometimes in the world. But yeah, so having skin in the game makes them work differently and think differently. So it's kind of old school, but I come from an old school background. My dad was an immigrant, so he worked very hard for everything, came to this country when he was 17. So, I mean, I think my entrepreneurial spirit kind of started back then with him, you know, when he came here. And taught me all those things growing up. And I watched what he did and what he taught me. So I try to instill that in my boys now.
I just, you know, it's, I want to continue to validate you as we move through this show, because I'm just like, I'm hoping that from this moment on, this will be a defining moment, you will begin to expand your business model into the core four different business ways to sell information online, which of course are courses, coaching, events, and many start out doing affiliate marketing. Doesn't mean you have to stop doing affiliate marketing, but you can also package and deliver your experience and your knowledge and your wisdom and what you know to others in those other three methods, courses, coaching, events. Events can be live, they can be virtual. It can also be a hybrid of the two. I talked about this quite a bit yesterday, giving the guest some tips about how to, you know, start to expand and immediately monetize her health coaching business by just simply hosting paid webinars, hosting paid workshops where you get paid in advance to be able to host that workshop. I think people are eager for real wisdom, like what you have, and genuine teaching and genuine leadership and mentorship and life experience. Margaret said, what does a typical day look like for you, Tammy?
I don't know. Anything is typical in my house, you know? I don't know. I mean, I'm at the point right now where I'm spending a lot of time learning more skills. So as much as I'd love to tell people that this only takes 2 to 3 hours a day with just your cell phone, Wi-Fi, and a laptop, which definitely is something attainable and something achievable. It's really, if you really want to build something sustainable and long-term, it's really not going to be that, you know, you're going to have to keep learning. And so I'm spending my time right now in my email campaign, because I feel like I did get a lot of people into my funnel, even though I struggled getting that funnel open, but I really feel like I'm not really converting them. And I think there's a couple of reasons why I'm not. One is maybe my email campaign, I just slapped up using some templates that were given to me, added a little bit of fluff here and there, but really your email marketing is going to be where like a lot of what the nurturing is going to go on. So I really am spending a lot of time in my DMs. I'm talking to people on the phone an awful lot. I don't monetize that yet. I do offer people that because I'm just genuinely a coach. I'm genuinely a person that wants to be honest and upfront. So I have a call after this, as a matter of fact. I don't charge for that yet. Eventually, I'll feel like I'm worthy of charging for that. But right now, until I really see that success and that growth where I feel like my time is so valuable that I can't do that for free anymore, then I'll start charging for that. But for the time being, I'm on the phone with clients a lot right now, customers of my audience, they are reaching out to me. And people in my generation want to have that face-to-face. They like the longer form content. They like me speaking. They don't like me pointing at things. They don't like me dancing. I don't think anyone wants to see me dancing. I don't dance. But they want that long form. It's very strange. I mean, I think a lot of other people like that 10-second video. I've seen a lot of Wake Up Legendary where they said they've mastered the 10-second video. Or in Sean's case, he mastered the no talking video. But people that are, my audience is 55 and older. And my 55-year-old group wants to relate with me. They want to talk to me. They want to touch me. They want to feel me. They want to know my story. And all my ugly, you know, I have a lot of women. I'm 89% women, and I'm 89%, I mean, I'm mostly over 55. So I know who I'm talking to. These people want real, authentic talking on the phone. So even though I don't do as much, 90 seconds is not enough for me to get a reel done, to be honest with you. I wish I had 2 minutes, even though people might scroll. The people that are really interested in what I have to say will stay on it. And 90 seconds is pretty quick for me to have to get it done. I'm not really answering her question. I'm spending a lot of time with my emails, and I'm spending a lot of time with my learning and getting more educated.
Well, you're answering the question exactly what we need to hear, which is what you're actually doing and what you're actually focused on. There's some great tips in there just about doing what is natural, doing, you know, not getting caught up in comparisonitis with looking at what other people are doing, really understanding who you're talking to, what they want. I think anybody who's going to spend money and be a quality customer needs a little bit more of a long form conversation. It's one of the reasons why we do Wake Up Legendary here, is because we're selling education. We're people are making decisions here about significant sums of money to, you know, invest in their skill sets. And so I come on here 5 days a week and have a long form real conversation and give people an opportunity to be able to hear what we're all about here. If I know what I'm talking about, I mean, can this guy actually talk about marketing? Can this guy actually have a just real unscripted conversation about what the hell he's claiming that he can teach? You know, that's important for people to be able to size you up in a sense, if you're going to be making recommendations. And also, you know, as you're moving towards selling your coaching, because you're getting ready for that. I know that you are. You may not feel like it's time to charge yet, but I tell you what, you need to go back and read these comments. People want to give you money. You know, people are telling you to charge right in the comments right now. They're telling you it's time. And so, you know, many of you are wondering, you know, well, how do I get good at talking on video in the first place? You had mentioned technology earlier in the show, and that was a challenge. Was it a challenge for you to learn how to talk into the camera and to get comfortable doing that?
I thought that was going to be my hardest thing. I got my back end systems all set up and I cried during a lot of that. It was a struggle. And my husband really was like, you can do this. You can do this. Thank God I had my husband and my kids support. But I thought the hardest part was going to be pressing that play button, like, because I had never done a reel. I didn't have Instagram. I didn't have TikTok downloaded. I didn't even know really what was out there. But, you know, you do. You just put one foot in front of the other and you just press play. At the beginning, it's just like what everyone says. At the beginning, you think you need to edit it and over edit it, and you want to look perfect and you don't like what you sound like. But by the second, third, fourth video, I really show up like what I look like on my everyday. I don't care about, you know, making myself appear differently, although I do use a filter, which is nice at 56. But I don't know. I thought that was going to be my hardest part, but it absolutely was not. And I think once somebody gets through that breaking point of doing it, you actually start to enjoy doing it. I actually wish I could connect with people and talk more. Like I said, I wish I had not done the content I had done at the beginning, which was the copycat content. I still am doing some of that because my audience keeps calling me out saying, but we want to see XYZ. And I do want to serve them. I do want to be able to give them. Some people aren't ready to do this yet. And they just that remote job is enough for them to get by, or just that little, you know, hope, that little glimmer of hope is enough to give them to kind of get by. And you hope you can warm them up to your offer later. And to use your fishing comment, your fishing analogies, which I absolutely love because I love fishing. I grew up fishing with my dad. You have to cast a wide net at the beginning, I think, to be honest with you. And I think the strategy behind doing some of that other stuff is casting that wide net. And you sort of need, in my opinion, this is only my opinion, I think you need to be validated in the space. You need to have a certain following in order to kind of gain credibility. And so I think my strategy was grow, and then start converting, even at the expense of losing a lot of my following. At least at that point, I knew I could grow it. I knew I had some validity, but you know, now I'm shifting my content to what is truly authentic and valuable to me. And I know that I'm going to potentially lose people that want to keep seeing those remote jobs. And I'll throw one in every once in a while because they're legitimate remote jobs. I'm searching out for them. Although, as I tell my audience all the time, those remote jobs are things that they won't be able to get most of the time because you need experience. Most of those things are like, you know, 5-10 years experience. No big company is giving you a remote job to sit home unless you're qualified. So anyway, I'm always trying to remain true to myself and true to my audience and be authentic and tell them the truth. I think that does hinder my sales a little bit because I'm really upfront, like when I get on the phone with them, particularly about how much work it takes at the beginning, particularly. And a lot of people, the very first comment out of their mouth is, how much can I make and when can I make it? And I pretty much end the conversation with, I don't think you're suited for this right now because your mindset is there. If they're not going to get that quick buck right away, they're going to fail on it and maybe be disgruntled at the same time. So you have to be in the right mindset to do this. And it's a long-term thing. You know, it's a haul and it's challenging. Believe me. I know, you know, yeah. That.
Yeah, for sure. And that's another reason why I love doing the show is because it gives people a long form conversation to understand what it takes. I mean, I focus more in this show nowadays. My content that I've been creating for the past few years focuses more on how to overcome the challenges than the results that you're going to get. Because you're right, we have a microwave mindset, and especially when it comes to money. People have a microwave mindset. They want that. They want fat. And then they're disappointed that they don't get it. They a lot of times want people to whisper sweet nothings in their ear and tell them what they want to hear. And that's just, you know, that's human beings. I don't know why we like to get lied to so much, but it seems like we do. So, we're a school for entrepreneurs here. I mean, so it absolutely is about expecting the worst and planning and hoping for the best. You have to be prepared for the challenges. You got to be prepared for the long haul. If you get a video that goes viral, great. If you get success in your first month or two, great. One of the things that I'm focusing on personally here in my 13th year of business online and in our sixth, I think we're in our going into our seventh year in business here at Legendary, is really reminding and driving into people more that they need to focus on building their audience before they just run and start trying to get affiliate links and set up their web pages and funnels and think that just because you got a funnel set up and you got affiliate links or something that you're in business. And it's like, oh, I've spent 2 months doing this. I've spent 2 months setting everything up and I've got my affiliate links. Now I'm exhausted. Now, I thought that was what the business was, but you haven't even done any marketing yet. The marketing is actually when you start telling the world about your product, about your brand. So in a sense, we need to learn how to get comfortable in front of the camera or get comfortable creating content, faceless theme pages is essentially what works right now or is working right now, and start building an audience to sell to. That's my focus here moving forward, is helping people understand that without an audience, without an email list, it's not about having your email list set up and integrated into your funnel. It's actually about having people on the email list. You know, there's a big difference. And so, you know, I have seen this for, you know, years now, people spending so much time figuring out how to work the tools and set up the tools. And it reminds me, the analogy that comes to mind is sort of, it's like a construction worker who goes to Home Depot and shops for hammers and shops for drills, and then spends the next 6 months organizing his truck and then wonders why he's broke. And it's like, well, man, look, there was a guy out there who went out and sold a job. And once he sold his first job, then he went to Home Depot and bought his tools, right? And then went and did the job. And while he was doing the job, he had his employee or two or partner finish the job, and he went out and sold another job. So many online marketers nowadays are getting lost in sort of, it's also a way that we procrastinate. We set up the tools and we hang out in our funnels, and we also jump from course to course to course to course. We become lifetime learners in this, and because we avoid the work of actually marketing and creating content and getting our message out there and building that audience. That's I'm ranting a little bit on this, but this is a drum that I'm going to be beating here in 2024, because people need to understand that just because you have an affiliate link doesn't mean that you're in business or that you're entitled to money. What comes up for you as I rant about this a little bit? You got me.
We got me started. No, it's good. It's good. We all rant about things. I don't know what comes up when you're saying that, but I do know I focus on the one thing, which is don't chase the money. You know, my husband used to say this in business to his salesman all the time. If you're just chasing the money, it's going to keep running from you, you know? You know, serve your audience, serve your clients, serve your customer, and the money will come, the sales will come. So, I mean, really, that's what I'm trying to do right now. Like I said, the free coaching calls, if you want to call them that, my free, you know, calls with people. And to be honest with you, I was up until like, you know, 10 o'clock the other night. There was a handicapped guy that was on my feed that was looking for a job because he recently became handicapped and he couldn't work in certain industry. And I spent a good bit of time talking to him on the phone and finding a job for him, finding a place for him to go find work, because that's what he needed at that time. I mean, I didn't have to do that, but to be honest with you, I started this venture to help people and to help people find a way to fill in the gap. And that gap may be different for everybody else. Yes, I'd love to sell my course and I'd love to sell the products that I want to offer. And I think that will just naturally come. Because I think if you have that servant mentality, it's, you know, your success kind of follows that. And if you try to do the right thing every day, like success will hopefully follow that. So I'm not chasing the dollar at this point, but I'm fortunate enough to not have to. And I know that when people are in that fear, in that like they're so desperate for money, like that quick buck because they can't pay their mortgage, I honestly tell most of them, especially if they're older in my age group, I tell them not to get into this. Because it's not going to happen overnight. And I don't want to steer somebody into a situation where they're going to potentially be even more fearful because they can't make ends meet. So I'm not worried about the money, to be honest with you. I know that sales will eventually come if I keep learning my skills and honing in on my skills and nurturing my audience. And eventually, you know, that will all fall into place for me. So I don't chase the money at this point.
One idea that comes up for me just in terms of these free calls that you're giving people, that you're offering people, one way to transition into beginning to monetize those to get compensated for your time, right, earlier than maybe you plan, is to position those calls as an income discovery session, right, to where you become in like a you become like an online income expert, right? To where you help people get connected with income generating opportunities or jobs, if that's a better fit for them. You help them determine if entrepreneurship or a job is better for them. And based on your experience of not only trying things and knowing what's out there, having an understanding of the various business models and things that people can start, as well as a fairly thorough experience of online jobs, because you've researched them, you've talked about them on your profile, offering people that income discovery session for, tell me your story, tell me what you want, tell me what skills you have. I'll ask a couple of questions and I will match you, sort of like a matchmaker, with an opportunity that is, I feel, may best suit you for where you're at right now. That just came to me and I just wonder
I'll tell you, that's what my calls are. Like, all of my calls are that, to be honest with you. I was a human resource manager for a number of years and I was a recruiter. So, you know, it's a weird fit that this kind of happened, that I'm helping people find opportunities for jobs or for this opportunity. But within 5 minutes of a phone call with somebody, you can tell right away whether they're going to be successful with this or whether they really have what it takes to want, I mean, to be able to do this at all. I mean, entrepreneurs are definitely just wired differently. They think different. And not to say that you maybe weren't an entrepreneur and never experienced that you can't be successful doing this. But I just think, to be honest with you, most people, and within 5 minutes, I can tell whether they're going to have what it takes to push through and be successful doing this or any type of entrepreneurial thing, because it's on you. Like no one else. Other people go to work and they turn it off and they come home and they're not getting the call in the middle of the night when the fire alarm's going off or your building got broken into. They're not the ones, you know, when people don't show up for work and you're the boss and you've got to make sure you're there because no one showed up for work. Some people just want to clock in and clock out. And you can almost tell that within the first couple minutes of a phone call. Those people want to have their weekends free, their phones off. I mean, my phone's always on. And when I had an office in the West Coast, that extended our hours. We even did some business in China. That even extended our hours because we actually had to deal with some production in China. So, you know, to be an entrepreneur, you have to be on all the time. You don't say, I'm off the clock. And as much as you talk about, people talk about time freedom, and I talk about time freedom, I do have freedom to be able to go to my son's baseball game or to travel and do whatever, but my phone is always on. I'm always going to take the call. I'm always still working. I went on vacation this weekend to Aruba. That's why I couldn't be on this call last week when they wanted me to come on. It was my birthday. I worked the entire time I was there. That didn't mean that I wasn't on vacation. I was on vacation, but I still had to create content or do some videos. I still had to be working, you know, but I do that at night. I don't need to be vacationing the whole time. But I've grown up in that entrepreneurial situation. I've grown up where I've always been on, and I have a brother-in-law, I hope he's not listening, who worked for us in our brick and mortar business, who like wanted to clock out and never answer the phone after that. Even though one of his customers was having a crisis, I'm like, you need to call your customer. And he'd say, I'm off the clock. It's 5 o'clock. And that's why people like that will never be successful in an entrepreneurial business, because you have to treat it differently. It's your own thing. No one's watching you. You know, no one's babysitting you.
Yeah. This is what people need to hear, Tammy. And you're here to say it, and I'm here for it. I love it. This has been amazing. I am so excited for you to continue to speak this truth to people. I'm getting out my crystal ball here and just looking into the future at how your reach is going to grow and how people are going to continue to be attracted to you because of your truth telling, your desire to help people. And as you learn these skills, you're going to continue to find ways to reach one to many, you know, and you're going to expand. Not to say you're not going to continue to do the one-on-one stuff, but you're going to expand your reach from one to many and begin to help more and more people through these, you know, marketing methods and also these business models, that being courses, coaching events, and continuing to do affiliate marketing. So thank you for coming on this week, fresh back from Aruba. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully it's been not as nerve-wracking as you thought. You mentioned being nervous when you came on. I certainly couldn't tell. So a little feedback from me to you that it's been nothing but, you know, exceptional, exciting, inspiring. And I hope you have a chance to go back and read some of the comments, because people are absolutely going crazy over you and just overwhelmed with all the value and experience that you shared today. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, come back.
Like I said, it was a bucket list. I checked it off my bucket list, you know?
Wow. Well, that means a lot. Really, thank you for saying that. And thank you for making this a goal. And I'm happy to be a part of it. So come back. See me. Okay, let's continue the conversation.
I will. Roxy said she sometimes follows back up in a couple months. So I said I'd love to come back and tell you where I ended up or where I'm headed, you know? Because yeah. I'm in it for the long haul. You know, I'm not in it for the short term. So I'll still be here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yes, you will. All right, my friend, we'll talk to you later. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. See you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, my friends, you can go and follow Tammy on Instagram at affiliate.tammy, at affiliate.tammy. She's also over on TikTok at affiliate Tammy, just affiliate Tammy. Tammy spelled T-A-M-M-Y. What a powerful show. What a powerful show. What an exceptional way to end your Friday, for me to end my week. Not to say that my work week ends, because as Tammy outlined so clearly, the entrepreneur lifestyle is different than the employee one, where you're clocking out to where, you know, the work ends at 5 o'clock on Friday. And it's not something that you have to do. It's something that you get to do. At least that's how I view it. Something that I get to do. I get an opportunity to be able to serve people. I get an opportunity to be able to have people's trust and really deliver value, and help them out. I think Tammy had some unique, approaches to serving people. And I think that her willingness to be able to do what she's doing now is going to pay dividends in the later months and years of her career doing this. And many of you who are sitting around wondering, what could I be doing with my time? What should I be doing with my time? Wow, what a great learning lesson to offer, you know, to help people in such a way. Are you willing to go as far as to take a phone call, to jump on a Zoom? You know, Zoom offers a free I think you can get up to so many people coming on to. So if it's not a phone call, you could also offer free Zoom sessions. What do you get from that? Well, again, you could frame those as an opportunity to be able to help somebody make or get connected to the best opportunity for them. But you're also learning by actually talking to your target customers. What attracted them to you? You get invaluable market research. If you get to ask questions on those, as well as them ask questions to you. What did you hear that made you want to reach out? Why did you choose to reach out to me versus somebody else out there? What repels you that you've seen and heard out there? What attracts you that you've seen and heard out there? What did I say that made you want to reach out? I mean, was there one particular thing? You know, what is your goal? What are you looking to achieve? You start to see patterns. So you can then customize your marketing messages in the future to speak more to your target audience. And how do you know that they're your target audience? Because you're dadgum talking to them. And I did the very same thing at my career in the beginning of my career. There was less technology 13 years ago. And so I did spend a lot of time on the phone. I would get on the phone with people, the same way. And quite frankly, we are still doing that to this day, getting on the phone and talking with people, right? You will find, I'm glad that Tammy brought that up, and I'm feeling the need to kind of end with this, because that connection, some of you, you know, people get frustrated because nobody responds to their DMs or comments in the first place. How far apart will you set yourself from the pack if you not only will respond to people's comments, but be willing to jump on the phone with them? It's just, you know, we're moving further and further away from connection, more AI, more bots, more social media this, social media that, and people are starving for more connection. And so the path for you to build an audience, but not just an audience of you know, people who don't respond, but of a responsive audience. Same thing with your email list. When's the last time you actually sent an email and said, hey, I want you to send me your number one question right now, because I'm going to create some content here on my channel in the next couple of weeks that is going to address your exact questions. Now you're doing a couple of things. You're actually making yourself, you're the number one thing you're doing is you're creating with your email list and with Google and MSN and Hotmail and Live and all these different big internet service providers, you're improving the score of your email address and your deliverability to land in the email inbox and not in the spam box, because now people are actually responding. And that's one of the things that Google looks for, to inbox you and not put you in the spam, is there a two-way conversation coming from your email address? The number two thing is you actually open yourself up to a dialogue instead of just a monologue talking at people. Third thing is you're saying, I'm gonna answer these questions on my social media. So you're becoming omnipresent. They're now interacting with you in their email, also on your social media channel. They're also looking for their name and question to be called out and answered on your social media profile. Talk about bonding with an audience. Talking about taking people from cold to warm to hot. Thank you, Tammy, for bringing that up. Just an absolutely powerful conversation this morning, and a great way to refocus our priorities here moving forward. Are you putting profits over people? And if you are, most likely those profits are going to be delayed, if not come at all. You got to serve people. You got to bring value to people in order for profits to come. With that being said, my friends, have a fantastic Friday and weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday for another episode. If you want to get started, you can go to legendarymarketer.com/enroll. You can also text WUL to 813-296-8553 to get a text message reminder every time we go live. My friends, we'll be back here on Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern time, same place, for another episode. Thank you, Tammy, again, for an amazing episode, and all of you who have amazing things to say. Awesome, supportive, validating, affirming comments in the comment box. You guys are the best. You make this show the best show, the most fun, the most impactful, the best community to be a part of. And it's my honor to be a small part of that. So my friends, we'll see you back here on Monday for another episode. With that being said, thank you again, Tammy. Everybody get out of here. Have a great day and great weekend. Peace.